Tom, let's visit if we can. Obviously, we're starting that appropriation process on both sides, it looks like. From agriculture's perspective, what are you looking at there?
I think the appropriations process is going to be pretty muted in light of everything else that's going on. I think both the Democratic leadership in the House and the Republican leadership in the Senate want to take care of business. And appropriations is one of those bills, one of those packages that has to be done to keep the government running. And of all the things that are concerning us in society these days, from COVID to just the general unrest, I think both bodies want to be perceived as taking care of business. Certainly, both chairman in the House and the Senate do, including Senator Hoeven from that region. So, I think there'll be largely kind of pretty standard work products that do the basic job of appropriators, which is fund the government. It will start to breach into this question of what's going to be done for the 2020 crop year in terms of disaster or some sort of specialized assistance for row crop producers especially. I don't think that discussion comes into full bloom until maybe later on as Congress starts to try and wrap up its actually piece together a phase four package toward the end of July, maybe even the beginning of August, as Senator Grassley has suggested. I think we'll start to see some of the hints of that even in these appropriations packages this week.
Will the approach on CCC funding be part of that that discussion?
It could be. You know, historically, Don, the appropriations discussion has been on relative to the CCC has just been very kind of workmanlike. The job of the appropriators is to replenish the CCC for expenditures that were made or are anticipated to be made. And of course, the CCC is kind of like a credit card where the Secretary of Agriculture can spend up to the $30 billion historical cap to implement the farm programs that are in the law or use his own authority under the CCC Charter Act. And we've seen great examples of that over the last couple of years. Of course, there has been discussion. Secretary Perdue has actually requested that the cap on the CCC be raised to $50 billion. That was a big part of the discussion during the CARES Act discussions a couple months back, which led to kind of the first round of CFAP funding to address the 2020 losses related to COVID. So you can bet that discussion is going to come to the forefront again. Certainly, Chairman Peterson in the House of the Authorizing Committee has said, you know, we want to be a little bit more prescriptive in how the Secretary uses the CCC and therefore a little bit more tight with the way that we would replenish the CCC. Senator Hoeven, of course, as Chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, has been much more, look, we need to give the Secretary the resources he needs to address the problems as he sees fit. So I think we will see some of that debate rear its head again, as probably not so much in the appropriations process here in the next couple weeks, more as we get to that phase four piecing together of the package toward the end of the month.
So you're right. It's not till late July before lawmakers come back to D.C. to tackle some of that stuff. How do you see ag getting another bite at the apple here in dealing with COVID?
Well, the need is certainly great. You know, if you look at the last 2 years where significant outside of the Farm Bill or above and beyond the Farm Bill assistance has been given to U.S. agriculture for the trade wars, right? The MFP1 and the MFP2. You put those together along with the WIP and the WIP Plus for 18-19. We've had about $28 to $29 billion in assistance that's been appropriated or sent out to farmers above and beyond the Farm Bill. Economic conditions are even worse this year. When you look at futures, when you look at the crisis that we've come through. And so I think that need, that fundamental need, is what's going to create a response by Congress. Congress feels a great need right now to stand by the U.S. producer. When you look at all the uncertainty in the marketplace, in the world, I think there's a greater appreciation now for what the farmers are doing and keeping us all in ample supply of food and fiber, fuel, the basics of our economy. And so we're not having to worry about that so much as we worry about other things. And so I think that appreciation and the overall need is going to motivate Congress to stand by agriculture again in this 2020 Phase 4 package that's coming down the pike.
Do you see that looking similar to what we've done here in the past, or what's your take there?
Yeah, I would hope so. You know, one thing we've got to all acknowledge is FSA in particular has been really overworked between WIP and WIP Plus and CFAP and normal administration of ARC and TLC and yield updates and really coming off the implementation of the 18 Farm Bill. I think it needs to be simple. I think it needs to be straightforward. Producers need that certainty. Generally, the reviews, as you look back and compare MFP1 versus MFP2, MFP1 was paid on production. It was complicated, kind of created some winners and losers. It was hard to administer because you have to collect all that data. MFP2, on the other hand, was a simple kind of by-county rate. It was simple to administer. It was basically the press of a button in Kansas City, but it was still very relevant to producers around the country. Generally got a lot better feedback in Washington, D.C. for the both the Congress and the administration. So I would foresee something looking a lot more like the MFP2 model, where it's just, you know, paid out to counties based on kind of the production in those counties.
All of this obviously being done in the backdrop of it being an election year. We haven't really gotten into the full heart of the full activity with that yet, but does that play into any of this discussion?
Well, it does certainly. I think the last several elections have certainly proven the notion that the rural agricultural vote matters. And, you know, farmers and ranchers and farm families tend to be very vested in their governmental representation. They are active participants. They're good citizens, and so they get out to vote. And I think Washington, D.C. knows that. And, look, times are tough, and both Republicans and Democrats are scraping for votes and trying to do the right thing. I mean, it's not a cynical statement by any means. They want to do right by rural America and by production agriculture, because they know that production agriculture is doing right by the best interests of the United States of America. So I think there's genuinely a goodwill and good intent to try and stand by the American farmer here in this election season.